History of Modern Mathematics by David Eugene Smith. Article 16, Modern Geometry. Descriptive, projective, and modern symmetric geometry are so interwoven in their historic development that it is even more difficult to separate them from one another than from the analytic geometry just mentioned. Monge had been in possession of his theory for over 30 years before the publication of his Géométrie descriptive, 1800. A delay due to the jealous desire of the military authorities to keep the valuable secret. It is true that certain of its features can be traced back to de Sargues, Taylor, Lambert, and Frezier, but it was Monge who worked it out in detail as a science, although Lacroix, 1795, inspired by Monge's lectures in École Polytechnique, published the first work on the subject. After Monge's work appeared, Hachette, 1812, 1818, 1821, added materially to its symmetry, subsequent French contributors being Leroy, 1842, Olivier from 1845, de la Gournerie from 1860, Valier, de Forcy, Adhémar, and others. In Germany, leading contributors have been Ziegler, 1843, Anger, 1858, and especially Fiedler, 3rd edition, 1883 through 88, and Weiner, 1884 through 87. At this period, Monge by no means confined himself to the descriptive geometry. So marked were his labors in the analytic geometry that he has been called the father of the modern theory. He also set forth the fundamental theorem of reciprocal polars, though not in modern language, gave some treatment of ruled surfaces, and extended the theory of polars to quadrics. Monge and his school concerned themselves especially with the relations of form, and particularly with those of surfaces and curves in a space of three dimensions. Inspired by the general activity of the period, but following rather the steps of de Sargues and Pascal, Carnot treated chiefly the metrical relations of figures. In particular, he investigated these relations as connected with the theory of transversals, a theory whose fundamental property of a four-rayed pencil goes back to Pappos, and which, though revived by de Sargues, was set forth for the first time in its general form in Carnot's Géométrie de Position, 1803, and supplemented by his Théorie de Transversales, 1806. In these works, he introduced negative magnitudes, the general quadrilateral and quadrangle, and numerous other generalizations of value to the elemental geometry of today. But although Carnot's work was important and many details are now commonplace, neither the name of the theory nor the method employed have endured. The present geometry of position, Géométrie de l'Arche, has little in common with Carnot's Géométrie de Position. Projective geometry had its origin somewhat later than the period of Monge and Carnot. Newton had discovered that all curves of the third order can be derived by central projection from five fundamental types. But in spite of this fact, the theory attracted so little attention for over a century that its origin is generally ascribed to Poncelet. A prisoner in the Russian campaign confined at Saratov on the Volga, 1812-14, privé, as he says, quote, the tout espèce de livre et de secours sous tout displayed parler malheu de ma patrie et le miens propre. End of quote. He still had the vigor of spirit and the leisure to conceive the great work which he published 1822, 8 years later. In this work was first made prominent the power of central projection in demonstration and the power of the principle of continuity in research. His leading idea was the study of projective properties. And as a foundation principle, he introduced the anharmonic ratio, a concept, however, which dates back to Pappos and which de Sargues, 1639, had also used. Möbius, following Poncelet, made much use of the anharmonic ratio in his Barycentrische Calcul, 1827, but under the name Doppelschnitt-Verhältnis ratio bisectionalis, a term now in common use under Steiner's abbreviated form Doppelverhältnis, the name anharmonic ratio or function, rapport anharmonique or fonction anharmonique is due to Chasles, and cross-ratio was coined by Clifford. The enharmonic point and line properties of conics have been further elaborated by Brian Chon, Chasles, Steiner, and von Staudt. To Poncelet is also due the theory of figures homologiques, the perspective axis and perspective center called by Chasles the axis and center of homology, an extension of Carnot's theory of transversals and the corde ideale of conics, which Plücker had applied to curves of all orders. He also discovered what Salmon has called the circular points at infinity, thus completing and establishing the first great principle of modern geometry, the principle of continuity. Brianchon, 1806, through his application of de Sarguez's theory of polars, completed the foundation which Monge had begun for Poncelet's 1829 theory of reciprocal polars. Among the most prominent geometers contemporary with Poncelet was Gergonne, who with more propriety might be ranked as an analytic geometer. He first, 1813, used the term polar in its modern geometric sense, although Servois, 1811, had used the expression pole. He was also the first, 1825 through 26, to grasp the idea that the parallelism which Maurolicus, Snell, and Viette had noticed is a fundamental principle. This principle, he stated, and to it he gave the name which it now bears, the principle of duality, the most important after that of continuity in modern geometry. This principle of geometric reciprocation, the discovery of which was also claimed by Poncelet, has been greatly elaborated and has found its own way into modern algebra and the elementary geometry, and has recently been extended to mechanics by Genesee. Gergonne was the first to use the word class in describing a curve, explicitly defining class and degree, order, and showing the duality between the two. He and Chasles were among the first to study scientifically surfaces of higher order. Steiner, 1832, gave the first complete discussion of the projective relations between rows, pencils, etc., and laid the foundation for the subsequent development of pure geometry. He practically closed the theory of conic sections of the corresponding figures in three-dimensional space and of surfaces of the second order, and hence with him opens the period of special study of curves and surfaces of higher order. His treatment of duality and his application of the theory of projective pencils to the generation of conics are masterpieces. The theory of polars, of a point in regard to a curve, had been studied by Bolivier and by Grassmann, but Steiner, 1848, showed that this theory can serve as the foundation for the study of plane curves independently of the use of coordinates, and introduced those noteworthy curves covariant to a given curve, which now bear the names of himself, Hesse, and Cayley. This whole subject has been extended by Grassmann, Chasles, Cremona, and Jonquières. Steiner was the first to make prominent, 1832, an example of correspondence of a more complicated nature than that of Poncelet, Mobius, Magnus, and Chasles. His contributions and those of Gudermann to the geometry of the sphere were also noteworthy. While Mobius, Plücker, and Steiner were at work in Germany, Chasles was closing the geometric era opened in France by Monge. His Aperçu historique is a classic, 1837, and did for France what Salmon's works did for algebra and geometry in England, popularizing the researches of earlier writers and contributing both to the theory and the nomenclature of the subject. To him is due the name homographic, and the complete exposition of the principle as applied to a plane and solid figures, a subject which has received attention in England at the hands of Salmon, Townsend, and H.J.S. Smith. Von Staudt began his labors after Plücker, Steiner, and Chasles had made their greatest contributions, but in spite of this seeming disadvantage, he surpassed them all. Joining the Steiner school as opposed to that of Plücker, he became the greatest exponent of pure synthetic geometry of modern times. He set forth, 1847, 1856 through 60, a complete, pure geometric system in which metrical geometry finds no place. projective properties foreign to measurements are established independently of numeral relations, number being drawn from geometry instead of conversely, and imaginary elements being systematically introduced from the geometric side. A projective geometry, based on the group, containing all the real projective and dualistic transformations, is developed, imaginary transformations being also introduced. Largely through his influence, pure geometry again became a fruitful field. Since his time, the distinction between the metrical and projective theories has been, to a great extent, obliterated. The metrical properties being considered as projective relations to a fundamental configuration, the circle at infinity common for all spheres. Unfortunately, von Staudt wrote in an unattractive style, and to Ray is due much of the popularity which now attends the subject. Cremona began his publications in 1862. His elementary work on projective geometry, 1875, in Lodestorff's translation, is familiar to English readers. His contributions to the theory of geometric transformations are valuable, as also his works on plane curves, surfaces, etc. In England, Mulcahy, but especially Townsend, 1863, and Hirst, a pupil of Steiner's, opened the subject of modern geometry. Clifford did much to make known the German theories, besides himself contributing to the study of polars and the general theory of curves. End of chapter, read by Leonidas for Lit2Go, on the web at fcit.usf.edu.